Father Wilk suggest that I speak on the Blessed Virgin Mary and Islam. The Blessed Virgin Mary and the Mohammedans. You might wonder, why should we talk about the Blessed Virgin and the Mohammedans? Before we get into our subject, let me give you some reasons why, when it was suggested that I speak on the subject, I decided I would do it. There are over 500 million Muslims in the world. There are only three religions in the world that believe in one God, and they are Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. As you must know, after more than 1,300 years, it has been almost impossible to convert the Muslims to Christianity. Moreover, the largest number of martyrs in this century among those who believe in Jesus Christ, the largest number of martyrs have been given to the church in this century by the Muslims. In the Sudan alone, over 2 million Catholics were starved to death in this century by the Muslims because they refused to deny that the Son of Mary is the Son of God. Within the last year, 24 Muslim nations in Africa formed a union to do everything in their power to exterminate Christianity from the continent of Africa. My friends, this deserves more than what I planned about a half an hour's conference on the Blessed Virgin and Islam. I might begin by saying that I have taught the non-Christian religions for over 30 years, including classes on Mohammedanism. My plan for this conference is to cover the following areas. First, what do Muslims believe about Jesus Christ? Secondly, what do the Muslims believe about the Blessed Virgin Mary? Then, why should we understand what the Muslims say about Our Lady? And finally, how are we to work for the conversion of the Muslim world through the Blessed Virgin Mary? First then, what do the Muslims believe about Jesus Christ? When Muhammad came on the scene in the early 7th century, he found in pre-Islamic Arabia many who did not believe in one God. He was determined to convert the pagan Arabic world of his day to belief in one God. And he found out all he could about Christianity. But listen to this. The only Christianity he found was what we call Nestorian Christianity. There was an Archbishop of Constantinople by the name of Nestorius. This Archbishop denied that Mary is any more than the mother of the man in Arabic Esau, Jesus. But Muhammad insisted, because that's the kind of Christianity he found. He insisted that Miriam, Mary, although she was the mother of Esau, Jesus, she was not the mother of Allah, the mother of God. Over the years, in teaching about Mohammedanism, I've told my students a good description of Mohammedanism is to say it is heretical Christianity, and to be more specific, it is Nestorian Christianity. A Christianity which does not believe that Mary's son is the Son of the Living God. He began with a question. What do the Muslims therefore believe about Christ? They believe he was a great prophet, foretold by the prophets of Israel. They believe that Jesus was the greatest of the prophets, comma, until Muhammad came on the scene. Consequently, for the Muslims, Jesus is not God, and Mary is not the mother of God. In one passage after another in the Quran, the Bible of Islam, those who believe that the son of Mary is the son of God should be converted, quotes, to Islam, shown the error of their way if they refuse, they should be oppressed. If they still refuse, they should be killed. You don't read this at a Detroit Free Press or the New York Times or the Chicago Tribune or the Washington Post. So much for them, what the Muslims believe about Jesus Christ. What do they believe about Mary? The Muslims have a very high regard for the mother of Jesus. The highest compliment that a Muslim can pay to a woman is to say she is like Mary. Listen to this. Muslims believe that Mary was a virgin. I wish all Christians believed that. The Muslims believe that Mary is a chosen person because her son, foretold by the prophets of Israel, foretold, if you please, the son of Mary, they claim, foretold the coming of Muhammad. The Muslims will quote from a distorted New Testament. Muhammad never had access. What a pity. He never had access to the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The only Christianity he had contact with in his day was a confused, heretical Christianity, and I better repeat it, a Christianity which denied that the Son of Mary is, in Muhammad's words, the Ibn Allah, the Son of God. For the Muslims, therefore, Mary is the greatest of women. But don't you dare, within earshot of a Muslim, don't you dare say that Mary is the mother of the Son of the Most High. Muhammad, as you know, preached polygamy. Every Muslim country in the world allows polygamy. Pardon the verb, change it. Not merely allows polygamy, it is part of their faith. Understandably, therefore, Muhammad had a few children. Yet his favorite daughter, good to hear, the Arabic pronunciation is Fatima. Fatima. Don't tell me that's a coincidence. So much then for what the Muslims believe about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our next question. Why is it important to understand what we may call the Mariology of Islam. Why is it important to understand what the Muslims hold about the Blessed Virgin Mary? Because, not in my judgment, but in the teaching of the popes over the centuries, the surest hope of converting Islam to Christianity is the mother of Jesus, who for us is the mother of God. That's all we've got to do. That's all we've got to do. That's all. Is to convince the Muslims, 500 million of them, who believe in one God, that Miriam, the mother of Esau, she is the mother of Allah, the mother of God. Why is it important for us Catholics to understand as much as we can about what the Muslims believe about Mary? Because she is the key to entering the Muslim mind. Islam founded in 622 in our calendar. For over 13 centuries has held Mary in very exalted veneration. Why is it important for us to know something more than most of us do on what I call the Mariology of Islam? Because, what word shall I use? Stupidly, we are doing everything to antagonize the Muslim world. Some time ago, I was asked to give a lecture to the Michigan Catholic Lawyers Association in Lansing. I was asked to speak on the subject. Question: was the war against Iraq, the Gulf War, was that a just war? You can almost guess what I said. No. God judges the sincerity of our political leaders, but the consequences on the Muslim world already are and will be devastating. Tens of thousands of, as you must be reading, of the people of Iraq, especially the children, are starving to death. Why should we know more about what the Muslims believe about the Blessed Virgin? Because, as we will see in the final part of our conference on how, as a member of the Society of Jesus, my Father in God, St. Ignatius, tells us, if you want to convert somebody, enter by their door, so they will leave by your door. the door to the heart of the Muslim world is Our Lady. They reverence her, they respect her, they honor her, and I can honestly say, after 30 years of teaching the non-Christian religions, they love her. The more, therefore, we know about what the Muslims believe about Mary, the more deeply we can penetrate into the mind and heart of over 500 million people. And most of them, I know, every day, wherever they are, who are down on their knees 5 times a day. And as you've seen so many pictures, bow and bow and bow, adoring Allah. All they need to be convinced of is that Allah had a human mother, and her name is Mary. Now, the last part of our conference, how to work for the conversion of Islam through Mary. I dare say the last thing you think you would hear this morning was, "Father, I'm not quite sure what I expected to hear you say. What I didn't expect you to hear you say, we should convert the Muslim world." But I add, through Mary. The question is how. First, and how basic this is. If we are to convert the Muslim world, of course, to Christianity, we must imitate Mary in her own deep faith in the divinity of her Son. Oh, how confused, how well I know, how sadly confused so many Christians and Catholics are about the divinity of Jesus Christ. Remember the Annunciation. The angel told Our Lady how the child she would conceive would be the Son of the Most High. Remember how Elizabeth greeted Mary at the Visitation? "Where did I deserve," Elizabeth exclaimed, "that the mother of my Lord should visit me?" Remember what happened to the unborn John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb, and Mary, now carrying Christ, addressed Elizabeth. St. Luke tells us, quoting Elizabeth, "As a child in my womb leaped for joy." If Elizabeth believed that Mary carried her God in her womb, you may be sure that Mary believed that already the unborn child she was carrying was her Creator. Having taught my fellow Jesuits theology for 25 years, how well I know, how sadly well I know, how confused so many people are, and sadly, not a few priests, on the divinity of Jesus Christ. How then are we to work for the conversion of Islam through Mary? I know I'm talking to the right audience. You wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be here unless we believed that Mary is the Mother of God. But our own strong faith in imitating Mary, in her faith in the divinity of her Son, hear it, in the divinity of her Son who suffered, who was opposed, who was persecuted, who was scourged, who was nailed to the cross. Oh, the faith of Mary. She believed that human body being drained of its blood on the cross was her God. Whatever else we better believe with Mary, it is that God became man, hear it, God became man in order to suffer. No wonder, so many nominal Christians, and dare I say, so many nominal Catholics, are confused, uncertain about who Jesus Christ is. You know why? They are afraid of the cross. That's Mary's faith. I said earlier, over 2 million Christians are martyred in the Sudan alone in this century because they refused to deny that the Son of Mary is a Son of the Living God. But if we are to imitate Mary's faith, it better be a faith. Hear it. I hope you hear this again in some sermon someday. Imitate Mary's faith in the divinity of her Son if, like her, you're willing to suffer for what we believe. I wouldn't dare talk this language unless I had at least a little sliver experience of what it means to pay for my faith. And you be willing, please God, to pay for your faith in Mary's Son being the Son of God. You're still asking the question, how? How are we to work for the conversion of the Muslim world through Mary? By imitating Mary's virtues, especially I know the Muslim world too well not to know, especially the virtues of chastity and charity. We speak casually about the first three centuries of the Christian era being the age of martyrs. So they were. Every pope for the first 300 years died a martyr's death. But the churches had more martyrs, as I keep repeating to one audience after another. The churches had more martyrs shedding their blood for Christ since 1900 than in all the previous centuries of Christianity put together. Now, if it is God's will, what joy that would be, I hope you agree, to die a martyr's death. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But, hear it, we are now living in the age of martyrs. We are now living in the age of martyrs. We are now living in the age of martyrs. We are now living in the age of martyrs. And we're not privileged to die a martyr's death. And I wouldn't have to be speaking in the Archdiocese of Detroit. I could be in Chicago or Los Angeles. And I'd say the same thing. To imitate Mary's virtues, especially her chastity and her charity, my dear friends in Christ, you better resign yourself to living a martyr's life. I hope I'm clear. What other authority in the world is still left that tells the world that fornication, adultery, homosexuality are grave sins and gravely offensive against God? What other authority still teaches that if three conditions are fulfilled, no authority on earth can dissolve that marriage, that both are baptized before marriage, that there is a valid contract, they know what they're doing and they enter marriage, and the marriage is consummated by natural intercourse? This month, I'm beginning my 22nd year in working for the Holy See. Let me tell you, if you want to remain firm in your practice of chastity, my friends, you're going to pay dearly for it. And as a priest, only God knows the price that a priest has to pay who insists on Christ's teaching and Mary's practice of the virtue of chastity. But it is also Mary's absolutely selfless charity. Go back to St. Luke. In one short part of a chapter, He has what I call the Ten Commandments of Christ on charity. The same evangelist who tells us most of what they know about Mary. Christ tells us we are to love those who do not love us. We are to love those, hear it, who hate us. We are to love those who oppose, oppress, and persecute us. I would have taught Islam for so many years if I hadn't read enough Muslim writers. What was it that converted the pagan world at the beginnings of Christianity? Not I, but non-Catholic historians tell us it was these two virtues, chastity and charity. And it's not merely the good example, it is the grace we win by our day. I don't hesitate saying practice of heroic chastity and heroic charity. No Catholic in his right mind would think that Christ does not want the Muslim world converted. He does. But conversion will take place only if we do our part. And here, if we win the graces that half billion Muslim world needs to accept Mary's Son as their God, become man. One more answer to the question how before we close. How are we to convert the Muslim world through Mary? May I suggest that every day we say at least one Hail Mary for the conversion of the Muslims. Prayer. Ask our Blessed Mother, the one whom the Muslims so deeply honor and lovingly cherish, that she may obtain for them the grace they need. The Muslims believe indeed there is only one God. They do not yet believe how this God became man and took flesh of his Virgin Mother. We must pray. This Thursday noon, I am going to Fatima to give a series of lectures on Our Lady. I'll remember you and your families when I offer Mass at Fatima. I've never been there. I lecture on Fatima. I write about Fatima. But I've never visited Fatima. Let's close with a prayer. Mary, Mother of God, We beg you to ask your divine Son to grant the grace to those 500 million believing Muslims throughout the world the grace to recognize you, dear Mary, as the Mother of God, so that believing in the divinity of Jesus Christ, they may come to realize how much God loves them, that God even shed his blood on the cross for love of them. Dear Mary, obtain for us the grace we need to imitate your virtues, so that believing like you in your Son's divinity and practicing your virtues of chastity and charity, dear Mary, we ask you for the miracle of the conversion of the Muslim world, so that the Muslims and we might one day kneel before your divine Son and with a doubting Thomas say, "My Lord and my God, amen." In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We had better wake up. And the war we fought with Iraq this year is, I know, has exasperated the Muslim world. Well, that is an introduction. I would like to cover three areas of an immense subject. I might add, by way of a minor introduction, I have been teaching the non-Christian religions for the last 30 years. Have taught about Islam. I think I understand what we popularly call Mohammedanism. I'd like to ask three questions and briefly answer each one. What is the Muslim attitude toward Our Lady? Second, why? Why is it important for us to prayerfully reflect on the conversion of the Muslim world through Our Lady? And then very practically, how are we to proceed? In the Muslim mind, as is clear from the sacred book of the Muslim people, the Quran, Miriam, the mother of Isa, Jesus, is a virgin. You wouldn't dare question Mary's virginity before a Muslim. Mary is indeed the mother of Jesus. But the Muslims are adamant. She is indeed the mother of Jesus, but she is not the mother of God. If there is one cardinal principle of Mohammedan theology, it is if there is one cardinal principle of Mohammedan theology, it is that Jesus is indeed the Son of Mary, but he is not the Son of God. The Quran is so aggressively outspoken on this subject that Muslims are told to try to convert Christians who believe in Christ's divinity. If they do not succeed in converting them from their belief that Jesus is the Son of God, they are to use pressure. If that does not succeed, the Quran prescribes death. Read it for yourselves, it's there. On these premises, you see, the Muslims, though having a very deep respect for Mary, they are absolutely convinced to the point of snuffing out Christianity from most of the African countries. Yet, perhaps surprisingly, though they are absolutely against considering Mary the Mother of God, the highest compliment they can pay a woman is to say she is like Mary. Jesus, they believe, was the Messiah, foretold by the Jewish prophets, and for over 13 centuries. For over 13 centuries, there has been no love lost between the Muslims and the Jews. And the main reason is because the Jews do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. The Muslims do. Through all of this, Mary stands as the model of virtue for the Muslim people. The greatest of all women. But don't you dare say that Mary is the Mother of God. I'm not quite finished with part one. What is the Muslim understanding of the Blessed Virgin? One of the tragedies of history is that in the early 5th century, the Archbishop Patriarch of Constantinople, by name Nestorius, got the idea that Mary is the mother of Christ. In the Greek of that day, she is Christotokos, Tokos, mother of Christ. But she is not Theotokos, mother of God. The Patriarch Archbishop of Constantinople was condemned. Now the General Council of Ephesus in 431. Unfortunately, although he was condemned, his denial of Christ's divinity and of Mary's divine maternity did not die with him. The only Christianity that Muhammad found in pre-Islamic Arabia, hear it and weep, was Nestorian Christianity. So many bishops had lost their faith in Christ's divinity. As a result, Muhammad never knew, he never knew that the Mary of the Gospels is the Mary who, as Gabriel told Our Lady, was the mother of the Most High. In teaching Islam, I tell my students, one of my favorite names for Mohammedanism is Nestorian Christianity. What then is a Muslim idea of Our Lady? She is a great woman, and her son is indeed, he is indeed Ibn Maryam, the son of Mary, but he is not Ibn Allah, the son of God. Second question, why is it important for us to talk about the conversion of the Muslim world to Christianity? Why? Because the Muslim world is increasingly powerful. Some of the Muslim countries are extraordinarily wealthy. In their judgment, Jesus was foretold by the Jewish prophets. And then, if you please, Jesus foretold the coming of Muhammad. The prediction that our Lord made about sending the Holy Spirit, if you please, the Muslims believe it is Muhammad, the spokesman for the Holy Spirit. Either, I know what I am saying, either we strive seriously to convert the Muslim world, or the fate of Christianity in more than one country is at stake. We've all heard about the Crusades, remember? And depending on what author you read, few authors are complimentary of what the Christians did in trying to save the holy places from the Saracens, as they were called in those days. We must labor to convert the Muslim world, or the Muslim world in growing numbers, in areas of the world most of us don't even know the Muslim world will overpower Christianity. I sometimes ask people, how many Catholics do you think there were in Africa, the whole continent of Africa, in the year 1900? They made wild guesses. So I told them, a little less than 500,000. So I asked them, and how many Catholics are there in Africa now? 1990. I told them, 74 million. Dioceses beyond counting in Africa. Seminaries filled. Religious vocations stable. Dare I say, and religious women in a religious habit. I repeat my question. Why should we strive to convert Islam? Because Islam, I mark every syllable of my sentence, Islam is on a warpath. Unlike the Christian Gospels, the Quran not only allows or encourages, it prescribes using violent means against the blasphemers who dare claim that Mary is the mother of Allah. My third question, and in a way the most important, how are we to expend ourselves and be better in doing everything in our power to bring Christianity to that Muslim world which has such a great veneration for Mary but does not believe that her son is the Son of the Living God? How are we to strive to convert the Muslim world? First and most obviously, by our prayers. may I recommend that each one of us at least now make the intention. Among the Hail Marys we say each day, dedicate one, at least one, every day to the conversion of the Muslim people. Pray. Pray for the conversion of Islam. Secondly, how are we to labor for the conversion of the Muslim world? To grow in our understanding of marriage, and not just trill the words, but know what we're saying when we say that Mary is the Mother of God. Over the years, when I speak to religious communities, especially of women, I ask them, how many books on Our Lady do you have in the convent? So far the record is the Missionaries of Charity of the Bronx. I never checked their figures, but they told me, Father, I gave them 1 week to find out how many books on Our Lady they had. They claimed 104. Learn about Mary. Read about Mary. Dare I say, study about Mary. Even have a title for the science of Mary called Mariology. Because the more deeply and clearly we will understand who Mary is, the more we will realize that if there are 500 million people who are devoted to Mary and do not yet believe that her son is the second person of the Trinity become man, then for 1300 years we Christians, I dare say it, have been loafing. How much of our zeal can be up here speculative? Learn all you can about Mary, so that understanding who she is, you will realize that for 13 centuries, Mary's son has kept the Muslims devoted to Mary, waiting for somebody who knows Our Lady to convince this over 1.5 billion people that the one whom they so deeply venerate and love is the mother of their God. How are we to labor for the conversion of the Muslim world? And this is the hardest part of my, shall I call it, homily. Am I going to win the graces that the Muslim world needs and that Christ wants to give these people? We must earn these graces. in theological language, we must merit these graces. How can we best merit the graces that the Muslim people need to be converted to a Christianity which believes that Mary is the mother of the Most High? What can we best do? The best thing we can do, and here I'm drawing on St. Ignatius, my Father in God, the founder of the Society of Jesus. We close the Ignatian year this Thursday, commemorating the 450th anniversary of the foundation of the Society of Jesus, and commemorating the 500th anniversary of St. Ignatius' birth. He was born in 1491. The most effective way we can merit the graces of these teeming millions of Muslim people need to discover that Mary is the mother of their God is by imitating the virtues of Mary. And that, my friends, you don't just read about in a book. You don't just hear about in a sermon. This you must live. One of the principal virtues of Our Lady that we are to strive to imitate, and by imitating merit grace, and by meriting grace in God's providence, bring a large part of a world that believes in one God but does not yet believe that His one God had a human mother. First of all, Mary's faith. Let no one in your hearing ever say that Jesus did not know from the first moment of His existence in Mary's womb who He was. Mary knew. That's what the angel told her, remember? You are to become the mother of the Most High. Elizabeth knew, remember? How the visitation. How is that? How is it, she asked Mary, that the mother of my Lord should visit me? What we most need, the most fundamental virtue of Mary that we are to strive to imitate, is Mary's faith in her Son's divinity. But let's be clear. The Son of Mary is Jesus. We believe He is God who became man. But we believe this God became man, if I could multiply my volume by 1,000, shout from the mountaintops, this God became man in order to suffer out of love for us. And Mary believed it. As she stood under the cross and watched her son bleeding to death, she never for a moment doubted that bleeding, dying man was her Creator. But she also believed that God became man in order to teach us who claim we believe in Him, to teach us. He showed His love for us by suffering and dying on His cross. And He wants us to show our faith in Him by proving our love for Him by suffering for Him. As I've been telling my students in theology over the years, there are two words that always go together, and they are love and pain. The real test of love is pain. The proof of love is pain. Dare I say, the language of love is pain. If you love someone, you are willing to suffer for the one you claim to love. You are willing to suffer with the one you claim you love. And the hardest of all, you are willing to suffer from the one whom you claim to love. I didn't used to give homilies like this 30 years ago. I've been a priest 44 years, but I do now. What we have to learn from Our Lady, from her faith in her son's divinity, when she held the body of the dead Jesus in her arms, she never doubted. The body of this dead man is the body of the living God. Here we are too, when the grace is for converting the Muslim world, we must imitate, each according to our state of life, Mary's unsullied chastity. I read enough Muslim literature as my business in different countries to know. Listen, countries like the United States are a scandal to the Muslim world. Because of the lechery that is so prominent in our nation. If we are to convert the Muslim world, we are to imitate Our Lady's charity. Mary loved the persecutors who crucified her son. Historians of Christianity tell us there are mainly two virtues, both building on faith, two virtues especially, that converted the pagan world of the Roman Empire. They were the virtues of chastity and charity, both founded on faith in Christ's divinity. Unchaste Christians will never be used by God to convert the Muslim world. Unloving Christians will never be used by God to convert the followers of Muhammad. Needless to say, we have work to do. I was a child when I first heard about Fatima. I memorized the title. Then later on, in teaching Islam, I found out Imam Muhammad not only permitted, but you might say, almost legislated polygamy. So Muhammad had more than one offspring. The favorite daughter of Muhammad. The Muslim pronunciation is Fatima. No coincidence of that. The Catholic Church has had more martyrs who shed their blood for Christ since 1900 than all the 19 centuries before put together. The blood of our fellow Catholics, including, I am happy to say, my own blood relatives from Slovakia, which is finally, after 40 years, been liberated from communism. Oceans of grace have been won by the blood of the martyrs in this, the age of martyrs. Please God, He will capitalize on these graces and do our part to bring Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary and the Son of God, into that Muslim world that loves Mary but does not yet believe that Mary's Son was her creator. This Thursday, I'm going to Fatima. I've never been there. All expenses paid. I'm going to give lectures, if you please, on Our Lady in Fatima. I promise to remember all of you and the masses I will offer for 10 days in Fatima. Suppose we close with a prayer. Mary, Mother of Jesus and Mother of God, we ask you to obtain from your divine Son the miraculous conversion of the Muslim people. They love you, dear Mary, but they don't really know you. ask Jesus, as you did at Cana, to work a miracle. The miracle of giving to the followers of Muhammad faith in your divinity, so that believing in you as their God, they may love your mother with all their heart. Amen. In the name of the Father,